Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this Monday, June 20th, public meeting of the Board of Garrett County Commissioners. I want to welcome everybody here, and I want to thank the town of Friendsville and the town council and mayor for hosting us today. This is our first on-the-road meeting we've had in over 2 years due to COVID, so it's glad to be back. Well, you guys were actually our first one whenever we decided to do this in our first term, and now you're the first one coming out of the pandemic. So, yeah, so this is our effort to get out into the communities and be able to talk to the town council and mayors and people outside of Oakland that may not be able to get to Oakland and engage in some conversation, things that are important to them. So with that, if you would, please stand with me for the pledge, and then Commissioner Kitchen will lead us in the invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you would bow with me, please. Precious and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for everyone that's here tonight, and we just ask that you guide and direct us in this meeting, and that everything we say and do here will be pleasing to you. And Lord, we'll just continue to praise you and glorify you and give you all the praise. Amen.
Please be seated. So we'll go through our public meeting agenda, which we will approve here shortly. At the conclusion of our public meeting agenda, we'll engage with the mayor and council about concerns, questions, things that you have for us. At the conclusion of that, we'll go to public comment. We do have a hard stop at 6 o'clock tonight due to Friendsville's meeting being scheduled, but we'll get, I think we'll have plenty of time to get everything in that we need to do. So with that, do we have, Mr. Knoll, are there any additions, corrections, or changes to public meeting agenda?
Yes, sir. I do have one to reapprove the Garrett Regional Medical Center Board of Governors, the three commissioner appointments.
Okay. Any questions on that? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the public meeting agenda as amended?
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. Agenda approved by mutual consent. Everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance of the meeting. Are there any additions, corrections, concerns with the minutes? Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes.
We have a motion approved. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. Minutes approved by mutual consent.
Here, copy, official copy of the minutes.
We do have some appointments to approve for the Health Planning Council. These are three-year terms. Mr. Knoll, I see that Edgar Harmon, Carl Schwalm, and Brian Bowl, they've all been contacted, willing to serve.
Yes, sir, they have.
Any questions on those three appointments?
They're reappointments.
Reappointments, yeah, they are reappointments to the board. Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the Health Planning Council appointments of reappointments of Edgar Harmon, Dr. Schwalm, and Brian Bowl?
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Appointments to the GRMC Board of Governors.
Yes, so these are currently serving on the board, but with the change in the name of the board to the Board of Governors, we'd like a motion to reappoint Carl Schwalm, Tanya Strom, Tracy B. Miller, and Patty Manal Mash. They are currently serving as commissioner appointees.
All right. Question on those hospital board appointments. Hearing none, we have a motion to approve that slate of appointments to the GRMC Board of Governors.
Make a motion to approve.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. Question on motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is bid awards. Mr. Knoll, what do you have for us?
Yes, sir. We have three awards tonight. The first one is bid number 220519CS, crushed stone aggregates. Five bids were received. Keystone Lime Company, George's Creek Stone and Gravel, Allegheny Aggregate, Fairfax Concrete Products, and Maryland Minerals. The purchasing department is recommending awarding the bid to each of the five bidders based on their per item bid and the location of the project and hauling costs. Specifics of the award will be on file with the purchasing division.
All right, question on that. We'll take them all at once unless we want to pull any of these. Is there a question on crushed stone aggregates? All right, how about the prefab bridge?
Bid number 220505S, prefabricated steel bridge. The two bids were received. Contact Engineered Solutions for the Big Run Road Bridge for $88,212 and the Sang Run Road Bridge for $68,443. The second bidder was U.S. Bridge for the Big Run Road Bridge for $137,090 and the Sang Run Road Bridge for $95,250. After the bid opening, the Purchasing Department received a letter from Contact Engineered Solutions citing an error in their bid and requested the bid to be withdrawn, which it was. So based on that, we have one bid. So the Purchasing Division is recommending awarding the bid to U.S. Bridge for the Big Run Bridge for $137,090 and the Sang Run Bridge for $95,250.
Questions on that? And that's within the budget price?
Both of them are.
Next.
The next one is bid number 220505C, prefabricated concrete beam bridge. We received one bid, Penn Stress for the Mill Run Bridge and for $173,700 and the Shalmar Road Bridge for $261,100. The Purchasing Division recommends awarding the bid to Penn Stress for the Mill Run on Allen Flake Road for $173,700 and the Shalmar Road Bridge for $261,100. I will note that both of these bids, the delivery price is 120 to 150 days out. So,
question on that. And those are also within the budget.
Those are all in budget, yes, sir.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and take those as a slate. So we're looking at bid number 22-0519CS for crushed stone aggregates. Bid number 22-0505S, prefabricated steel bridge, and bid number 220505C, prefabricated concrete beam bridges. All within budget, and the recommendation to accept the purchasing department's recommendation on these awards. Are there any questions?
Not on the bids, but just a question overall. Do we know when these are going to be constructed, the bridges? Is it within the next year? Or?
Well, there's 120 to 150 days for delivery. Okay. So once we place the bid, so.
Okay. Thank you.
So we're probably next.
Make a motion, we accept it.
All right, we have a motion to accept the slate of the recommendations for the Purchasing Division. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. We also have a couple of resolutions to adopt today. Resolution 2022-5 for Garrett County Parks and Recreation Plan and Resolution 2022-6, a pilot, which is payment in lieu of taxes with the CPV Backbone Solar, which I think everyone in here will like. But let's start with the Garrett County Parks and Recreation Plan. Mr. Knoll, what do you have for us?
Oh, yes, sir. This is the annual five-year plan that the county provides. This has been through the Sierra Whitfield. Our senior planner has met with all the municipalities. The plan has been reviewed and approved by the state. So we're ready to adopt the five-year Parks and Recreation Plan. So they've done a great job putting this together. And
all right. Question?
Just to reaffirm, that was a public process. She went to different communities.
Absolutely,
got input
yes.
from all kinds of different organizations. And, okay.
All right. So Resolution 2022-5. Natural Resources article of the Annotated Code of Maryland authorizes and requires counties to prepare and adopt a plan for the general purpose of establishing comprehensive strategy for the protection, appropriate use of land-based and water-oriented resources of the county. A plan entitled Garrett County 2022 Land Preservation Parks and Recreation Plan has been prepared in cooperation with the County Planning and Land Management Department. Whereas Garrett County has been duly adopted resolution of the Board of County Commissioners appointing a planning commission to exercise powers and duties conferred by Article 66B. Whereas said Garrett County Planning Commission, acting with the advice and assistance of the citizens of the county, has recommended adoption of the Garrett County 2022 Land Preservation Parks and Recreation Plan. Said plan is designed and intended to determine the needs for agricultural and forest preservation, demand for recreation areas and protection of natural areas. Said plan has been subject to public review and to public hearing, and the Board of County Commissioners have carefully considered said plan together with comments and suggestions regarding said plan, find that said plan constitutes suitable rationale and timely plan to preserve agriculture and forest land and recreation areas. Any questions on the resolution? Motion to adopt.
Make a motion to adopt the resolution.
We have a motion to adopt. We have a second.
Second.
Motion to second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Will that be published on our website?
It already is.
Already is. All right. So you can check that out if you're interested. The second resolution 2022-6, is a payment in lieu of taxes agreement. As most people probably have at least heard about, there's a major solar project going on Backbone in a land reclamation project, the old strip mine. That company's working through all that stuff. Part of the process, they approached us about a payment in lieu of taxes agreement with CPV Solar, which we do have the legal right to do. The agreement reached with CPV Solar is in lieu of paying taxes, they will pay $1.8 million per year for the next 30 years to Garrett County for that project. Anything to add to that?
Yeah, so typically these projects have a depreciation over the 30 years and a decline based on a state schedule that the state provides. So, for example, the windmills have, since they've been in, have decreased about $1 million.
Right.
So this will give us a steady source of income. We'll know from year to year for the next 30 years exactly what we're receiving. And basically what it does is it has, it's a little less in the very beginning, more over time, because typically it would decrease.
Right.
But they are not paying any less than what they would have we would have gone through with
just,
the rate of tax.
Just to state that another way, the assessed value declines over time, and therefore the amount of tax that we get declines over time.
Correct.
Normally.
Yes.
Depreciation. Yeah, that's what happens with the windmills. So this will stabilize
that
income.
And sure. We're not getting any less than what we normally would have.
Over that
30-year time. Yes, that's correct.
All right. Questions about that? So resolution 2022-6, payment in lieu of taxes. Board of County Commissioners of Garrett County, Maryland, a body politic and corporate and political subdivision of the state of Maryland, and CPV Backbone Solar, LLC, a limited liability company, duly organized and validly existing under the laws of the state of Delaware and authorized to do business in the state of Maryland, desiring to enter into a payment in lieu of taxes agreement. Which the tax property article of the Annotated Code provides us the ability to do for the negotiated payment by the owner in lieu of taxes on the facility. And again, that is $1.8 million per year over 30 years. CPV, Backbone Solar, and the county have reached this pilot as a result of good faith negotiations. So the CPV Backbone payments to the county shall be the equivalent of the property tax obligations which would otherwise be owed to the county by CPV Solar during the term of the pilot based on full and fair cash valuation. Questions? Hearing none, do we have a motion to adopt resolution 2022-6?
Motion to adopt.
So moved.
All right, we have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second, question and motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Are these the same?
That's the actual agreement.
Okay. Okay, the next item on the agenda is an adoption of the agreement, which is going to touch on the LoSAP program. Mr. Nall, what do you have for us?
Yes, sir. This is the Volunteer Length of Service Award Program for the Volunteer Fire Rescue Community. This was originally adopted by the Commission July 1st of 2008. It was revised in November 21st of 2013, and now we have a revision today. So the Garrett County Volunteer Rescue Association has requested the change, and they work with and have approved the change. And primarily it is to define or clarify the definition of eligibility for benefits. Which this plan does, and it's all based on point systems that the volunteers provide to their members, and it follows the state the same process and procedures that volunteers get for their tax income tax breaks. So it has been approved by both the Garrett County Volunteer Rescue Association, as well as the Emergency Services Board. And so now I need a motion from you all to accept the recommended changes.
So the purpose of this is to encourage and reward volunteer service, right?
Correct, yes. Yes. So this provides benefits, including a retirement, small retirement stipend for volunteers.
Basically,
and we're not changing any of that. This is just basically a change of the clarifying the eligibility of the volunteers.
Good question. Any other questions? Hearing none, we have a motion to adopt the agreement with on the LoSAP program.
Make a motion to adopt.
All right, we have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, that brings us to the conclusion of the action items on the agenda. I do have a couple of announcements before we begin our dialogue with the Friendsville Mayor and Council. We do have a public hearing scheduled for Tuesday, June the 28th at 3 o'clock. That public hearing is in relation to, a lot of you have heard about some of the reform in policing taking place in the state of Maryland. Each county has to create different boards to oversee certain things, a state requirement, and in our effort to do that, we need to pass an ordinance to establish the Police Accountability Board, which we will do at this hearing. We also, we've talked a lot about the Office of the Fire Marshal. We have somebody in that position now, approved by the state, and we also have a public hearing about that. And then also in relation to that, there's some things with the ordinance to fire prevention and county building code that we need to amend based on the local fire marshal. So that will be at that time as well. So if anybody's interested in any one of those three specific ordinances, you can go to our website. They're up now. You can look at them. You can comment via email to any one of us or GC comments, or you can show up at the hearing or give us a call or stop us on the street or whatever works best for you. So that is just a couple of announcements for that. Our next scheduled public meeting will actually be Tuesday, July the 5th, and that one will be in Bloomington as we get down there for our meeting to meet with the folks of Bloomington. That meeting will be at 5 o'clock. Any other announcements from the board?
All right, well, again, great to see everybody. Thanks for opening your hall to us to have the public meeting down here for the county commissioners. Spence, I'll turn it over to you. Any items, questions you have for us, things you'd like to address, things you want to share with us, and certainly the council.
First, I'll introduce the council, our clerk treasurer, Beth Van Sheets. I apologize, I thought this was our meeting where we meet and confer, talk about town. I didn't realize you were on the road show again, which is good.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. Community, a lot of you're out and about talking to folks in the community. So, we have Councilman James Hook, Councilman Bob Sines, Councilman Nick Kelly, our council president, Pam Humberson. Newest council member is Mike Artist, and Councilwoman Sherwood Lane. So, we're glad to have you here with us. A couple of things I'll talk about, and I know the council has a number of things.
Sure.
First, thank you for helping us with the drainage over on Park Avenue and Second Avenue. Worked with Paul Harvey and Wimp and the guys up at Axel Garage. Had a lot of water problems there with backing up and getting that new drain culvert into Bear Creek, and working with the Corps of Engineers. So appreciate the cooperation we have working together. We got that accomplished. We got that done. Something they did in 2021 is they do the bridge inspections every year. With White Sand Assist from the old Bear Creek Bridge over here. And we know it's in very bad shape underneath there, and the weight limit's going down. But I don't know if there's, have you ever seen anything where they've been using to try to repair them? Or, I mean, from your standpoint, from the commissioner's office, or?
I'm not sure what the issue is there, but
underneath it's in bad shape. So that's why Dwight's got, you know, the deterioration of it. So they do the inspection, which I understand. The commissioners, the council members are aware. This is our main thoroughfare here, of course, 53, but if we use that as a backup road, and, you know, hopefully we don't have to ever have that, we need that. But we didn't know if we'd have to move that over to eventually to a pedestrian-only walking bridge. I know further up Bear Creek, they put the new one in up there. Yeah.
Did Dwight give you any indication of what it would take to fix it, or how it would go to fix it?
What their recommendation is?
He just said it was rather, of course, this is where before the ARPA money came in, and, you know, so I'm like, oh, we don't have the money either, so we're all hurting for that. But just something we might need to look into working together on that. If there's something we can do with it, I'm not sure.
Do we know, is that bridge on our long-range bridge replacement plan?
It's a town bridge.
Town bridge,
yeah.
Let me see what the...
It's turned over the town back in, like, 56 or something like that. So, I meant to get that out sooner, I apologize.
It's all right.
So we never talked about that.
We'll look into that and see if we can come up with something to help you out with.
And of course, we're working on Second Avenue, by Ross Avenue. We're having some drainage put in, additional drains there, having that down. We're having Keystone do the milling and working again with the roads department to do the paving. So we appreciate the benefit there. It really helps us to get the streets paved and so forth. So, one thing. We have a concession stand down here, originally a pavilion that was closed in by a concession stand years ago. It's in very bad shape.
Is that the blue one?
Yeah. The fire department has taken over the Lions Club.
Yeah.
They're no longer there together. But the fire department took over the lease agreement for it, but it's just in such bad shape inside. So we did put it submitted for the POS monies. We didn't know if any partial programs would apply through that. Found out at the end of May, we didn't get funded for that. But that is something that we're hoping will help us, because it benefits. When the Kelly Festival's here, we couldn't have it open. We're friends with AIDS, the Fiddle Banjo Contest, Sue, numerous events the school has that they like to use it as well. So,
what, on the POS, was that just a renovation of that?
No, we're putting the whole new building up.
Tear down
and rebuild. Yeah, $250,000
it was. $250,000.
Okay.
We're putting out, we're put ADA accessible restrooms in as well at this end. A lot of people use the walking trail, of course, as they're circling the loop. The nice sure. bathroom here as well as down the lower end.
Yeah.
So we just appreciate the consideration there. And next, I know the council fighting to get there, so.
While we're here.
Elementary school, I guess. Yeah, you know, well, the school, you can walk right to the park, walk to the library, the museum, the fire hall. So, you know, I'll let let some of them talk on some concerns there. I know that we have council members all ahead on that.
Well, I'd like to say a few things about the school proposed closure, the Friendsville school. Friendsville enrollment has been stable for several years now. I'm going to say around 130, and that's up compared to what it has been in past years. So that's one thing. The building, the Friendsville school building, is in good condition. It's an older building, but it's still in good condition. There's a lot of community involvement with the Friendsville school through the restaurants, the fire department.
Community Watch.
Community Watch is down there all the time helping with things. The Judy Center. So there's a lot of community involvement, and we can do walkable field trips because we can walk. We do our 500-foot drill to the fire department, and we can utilize that if an emergency would happen. You know, we can walk right over. We can walk to the Friend Family Museum. We can walk to the library. We hold a lot of things here. We've been holding a lot of things here at the town park. This right before school let out, we did our awards thing down here. So it's very walkable because we're right in the middle of town or right on the edge of town, and the community helps out all the time. And it's such a large geographical area for the buses to run. I'm just afraid that if the buses would have to run another 15, 20 minutes or a half hour to get these kids up to Northern Middle School, you know, and then they want to make pre-K a 3- and 4-year-old grade, that's too much for these little kids. That's too far for them to travel. So that concerns me too. I mean, they already travel. Some of them that live out towards Cranesville are on the bus for over 30 minutes, the little ones. So that concerns me. And if the school was closed, we're doing our economic development process right now and have gotten monies for that. If the school was closed, it would economically devastate Friendsville in many, many ways. I mean, and when one thing closes, then it just snowballs. So I'm very concerned, and I just feel like accident, because Northern's right there in the 21520 zip code, and the middle school's right there, it wouldn't be as devastating to them, I don't think. I mean, they would still feel it, but not like Friendsville would. Route 40 is not a town. It's an area, it's a location. So I don't think that they would feel like we would feel either. So I just wanted to bring up all these points because I think it's very, very important to the kids, the parents, the families, and the town for this to be considered.
We also have daycare over there that they can drop the kids off early in the morning and then just there to what, 5 or 6 in the evening?
Yeah, probably about 6. Yeah.
And then we have Head Start, used to be in this building. It's over there at the school, so we helped to utilize the space there. But, yeah, I mean, I know we did the study, or they did about 10 years ago, the numbers were down to like 108, 109, and it's went up to around 130, 135.
And
I know the numbers countywide have declined, but here in the area it's been stable or increased some.
Yeah, and the enrollment would go up even more if 6th grade would stay here, or pre-K would be 3- and 4-year-olds like they want to do, the enrollment would go up even more. And the class coming in, the pre-K class coming in, I heard when I left school that there was 20 kids already signed up, and we usually get a couple more. Now, it used to be the pre-K class was not to be over 20 kids, but they're letting, you know, making exceptions. So, I mean, our enrollment, as I can see it, is not going down in this area.
And Mr. Finley right behind us has the housing development. He owns their Wakers down below. He's looking to possibly expand that. He's talked to me. So we're looking at that. We're working with Wayne here on Community Action to do some more housing. So in town, there's one house in the corporate limits that's for sale right now. Everything else has been everywhere selling. But, I mean, there's one. one large property that's an older property that's for sale.
And the school also is very active with getting the parents to come in and join whatever we're doing. We've done a greenhouse in just the last couple of years, and you should see some of the plants that's coming out of there. They're really nice. The kids did a really good job. And they've tapped the maple trees on the school property and made maple syrup, and the kids join in on that and they see how it's done and they have a maple syrup tasting, and all the mayor and town council was invited to that. And parents.
Memorial Day, they have it for the veterans.
Yeah, Memorial Day, they have a program for the veterans. Yeah, so I mean, anything that we can be involved with the community, Mr. Jamie Friend, principal down there, sees to it that we find a way to do it. So this is a very, very special little school that you shouldn't close.
Well, let me clarify something first. Just so that everybody fully understands, we don't close schools. Comar is very explicit. The only political body that has the ability to open or close a school or modify schools is the elected Board of Education, period. Now, we fund the Board of Ed, and we fund the Sheriff's Department, and we fund everyone else, but we cannot tell them what to do. We can tell them what to do. They don't have to listen to us.
Right.
But only they have the ability to decide whether they want to close the school or not. So it's very important that you share these concerns with those five people, because ultimately even the superintendent doesn't have a vote on that. It's the five elected board members that will make that decision. And they hopefully would be receptive to coming to meet with you all and having that conversation and
well, we invited them, but they said they couldn't do that yet until their study was done. So, but I'm telling you this, and we're telling you this for your support, because we need your support.
So. We have been in many conversations with the elected Board of Education. And are very concerned about the future of the school system, the footprint of the school system, the changes that are taking place that affect the school system top to bottom, and all of that stuff. I think I speak for everyone here, and if not, please interject. No one wants to see Friendsville School closed. So, you know, let's just make that clear. What decisions are made down the road for whatever reasons, I mean, we can't make any promises, because like I said, I don't know if everybody remembers, but I guess it was several years ago now, there was a conversation with another community about keeping the school open, and commissioners made some monetary commitments to that, and then the school board, not these people, this is a whole different group of school board members, so not pointing a finger at them, they went ahead and did whatever they were going to do anyway. So, you know, what we can do is, I'm not passing the buck or copping out. It is what it is. And we can work with the board, which we have said repeatedly we would do. We can talk to them about what we think should happen, but at the end of the day, they're the ones that are going to make the decision.
And the composition of the board may change with the election, too.
Well, it will. There will be a new board member coming up no matter what, because there is a contested race for an open seat. Three of them are up for re-election. Two of them are unopposed, and one of them will be taking a seat that is being vacated. So there will be a new member of the board, and I would say from the beginning, just some unsolicited advice, I would begin talking with whoever wins that right away just to get the information.
We've already tried, and they're not ready to do that yet because of the study.
Sure.
He's saying talk to the new
member. Oh, yeah, but I mean, you know, we've tried to get the others down, and they're not ready yet, so. And we went to Dr. Miller's informational session that she had at the school, which, you know, we had some questions, and if there was a question that she didn't feel comfortable answering, then she just said you need to go to here or there. And, you know,
it's going to be difficult for them
to close any schools. I really believe that it'll be something that it's not going to happen unless it just comes down to the economics of it to where they have to close schools. Now, having said that, it's getting close to that point. But you made some good points in that, and I think a very good point with Route 40. It's not a community school. And that's something you need to stress, I think, with the school board when you do talk to them. I don't know how many kids are there. I don't think there's that many in that school now.
I think they have a little less than Friendsville. And we're about 130, 133.
I'm not sure. That you could easily get that answer from.
And Grantsville school is being remodeled. So when that's done, I think that opens up that school to more students in that area. Mm-hmm. So you've made some good points, and I totally agree with you. But as Paul said, we have no say whatsoever in what they do with the money we give them.
No stipulations can be made.
No.
Except for capital money.
For capital projects,
we do have some.
When we fund something capital, they have to use it for that. But the rest of, they use it. If they decide to close the school, we can't tell them you can't do that.
Yeah, I understand that, but I just feel like, your support for Friendsville would it has to mean something. You give 43%
of
the funds to
their operating budget?
Yeah.
Probably closer to
50%.
50 or 60.
We're getting more capital money, less other money.
Yeah. We can't do that either. Can't do that.
But if the state's requiring them to pay new teachers $60,000 starting their first year, wouldn't the state be sending more money?
Unfortunately, not necessary.
Yeah.
And as it stands right now, the way that I understand the blueprint and reading it, Garrett County is one of two counties that are actually going to receive less money than they got before the blueprint was implemented.
Is that because of the wealth formula?
Well, everything's changing. So the way we used to think about things, the wealth, all that's kind of going away. It's based on a formula, but it's a little bit of a different formula. And some categories where you need to have, certain categories to get points, to get money in that category, we don't have that. So when you factor the whole thing out, we are actually going to receive, we being the Board of Ed, is going to receive less state money than before. But they're still going to be held to the mandates of the blueprint of you have to pay teachers more, you have to start pre-K earlier, you have to do A, B, and C. So costs are absolutely going to rise because of what the state says need to happen. And yes, the state is putting more money into education and spreading that out around, but Garrett, and I can't remember the other, I'm reluctant to even mention what I think it is going to get a little bit less money. And the other thing that the state did that hurts us, full disclosure, is the local delegation, the senator and delegate, did yeoman's work of getting the capital plan changed for Garrett County so that we were no longer under the 50-50 split to make it so that we're basically 90-10, where the state would pay 90% of capital improvements. But then they changed the rules of engagement of that, and they're saying if you don't have a certain amount of occupancy in the building, we're not going to participate with the capital. So I'll use Friendsville because we're here, and I'm making this up, so don't take this as I'm saying is what's going to happen. If it costs $5 million to renovate Friendsville Elementary School, and Friendsville didn't meet the threshold of enrollment, which it doesn't, then the state would say the citizens of Garrett County have to pay 100% of that because we're not going to participate in it because it doesn't meet the criteria. I'm oversimplifying it a little bit, but you can see where this is going. So where it looked like in the beginning this would be a savior for us and we could do a lot of work here and get a lot of stuff done, if the rules stay the same, they can always change. So we're going to have a new delegate, a new senator, there's going to be a new governor, there's going to be all kinds of new people in place. We need to keep telling this story that, hey, we got some real issues out here, and Friendsville is an excellent example of that, and here's what could happen, and this is what will happen if we can't get some of these things changed.
It's not unusual for the state to pass a mandate without the funding to support it.
That gives
state employees pay raises if we end up having to pay it in Garrett County.
Yeah.
So.
That's just as.
But we hear you absolutely with the school issue.
That's your responsibility. Yep.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I said my piece.
That's why we're here. Anything else?
For all of us, our main concern was the school.
Absolutely, and as a former mayor of a town, I know exactly what you guys are thinking about there.
And property values will go down too. I mean, if people don't move to Friendsville because there's no school here, everybody's property value is going to go down. You know, it's a snowball effect. It'll affect everything and everybody, right down to a baby. You know, in the long run.
Point well taken.
Andres, you did a good job of making your case.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I tried to think of everything.
Hard not to get.
Mr. Chairman, also, our library is taking over renting the whole former town hall library.
Yeah, we're up to tour it in. It looks good up there. So, a lot more space.
We've expanded a lot more.
It gives you more space here and more.
Yeah. This is
nice down here.
So they're looking, we're applying, thanks to the grant now, it's 8812, so
yeah.
It will help them. We've applied for a grant for that. Thomas has applied. We've sent letters of support for that. So that's all been submitted. Hopefully we'll get funding, and then they'd like to purchase the property up there, and they need to put a new building on it there. So.
Yes. Yeah, that's...
People from all over, we have from Martinsburg, even Burlington, when it was just a little library, half of it, like, it was much larger than what they had, Yeah, they were able to get furniture from Montgomery County, from Allegheny County, that they didn't need and put in there, and it worked out well. And a lot more people of all ages are in there. Nice area for the quilters. They're going to quilt there, which is already done, but expanding that. So.
Excellent.
We better get started.
Anything else from council? I'm not sure if any concerns.
Well, just the Bear Creek Bridge.
So, Mr. Mayor, here in this report, it says. There's no structural distress due to loading, and load ratings are still applicable. So that's on page 13.
Okay.
So there's no need to change any load ratings. So there's some preventive maintenance that may need to be done, and I'll have the engineer contact you to see what that involves.
Yeah, we talked about changing the weight limit, I think.
Yeah, well, according to this, there's no weight limit. It has to be changed at this point.
Okay.
Right? It says... No structural distress due to loading, and the load ratings are still applicable. That's 10,000 pounds. So.
Well, can't be that bad then. How could it be bad then?
Still
bad.
Yeah.
So the recommend is it is reassessed every year. So.
That's not what he told you, though, is it? He said the weight limit needs to come down.
Can't be that bad. Yeah.
We have an email somebody missing from this summer.
If that's the current report, that's what it says there.
Yes,
Kevin can contact Dwight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll clarify that.
That's what that report
is. This year.
So, there's no need. I mean, there's some work needs to be done on it, but you don't have to make, not to change anything to load according.
Yeah,
if that's
the
error,
like the large, our fire department, they had to get approved.
Do you anything else from mayor or council, questions or concerns you want to share with us? On a positive note, I guess everybody's aware we were able to cut your ad valorem tax by 4 cents, which is a pretty significant cut, really, in what your residents will have to pay there. So that's good news. All right. If there's nothing else, we'll move along. And you guys always know. Spence knows how to get a hold of us. You guys all know how to get a hold of us if there is an issue. We have really tried over the last 8 years to work more cohesively with the towns, to do a lot of things that we've talked about, help with bridges, help with roads, help with parks, whatever the case may be. So if you have things going on, let us know, and if we can help you, we will. So, okay, with that, we go to a time of public comment. We have three people signed up to speak. We ask that you try to keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. And with that, Mr. Bimbakis.
First of all, let me say that I had the pleasure of attending the graduation of my grandson from pre-K. And my granddaughter will be attending next year at Friendsville, so very familiar with it. Thank you. That being said, commissioners, Mr. Mayor, members of the town council, my name is John Bimbakis. I live up on Helper Hill for the last 40 years, and my home is about 2 miles from the Allegheny River, the wild section of the river. When it was in private hands, I was down there numerous times, by permission, of course, and I know that area fairly well. The reason I wanted to spend a few minutes with you all is that it's hard to believe, but 40 years ago, then-Delegate Edwards and myself were dealing with this Allegheny River. It was one of the hottest issues in Garrett County. It was the major election issue, since you've mentioned elections. It was an incredible, volatile situation. The state of Maryland, through the Department of Natural Resources, came in, threatened to take land by eminent domain. I don't have to tell you that doesn't work very well with folks from Garrett County. There were lots of restrictions placed on private property. And when Delegate Edwards and I got involved with it in the early to mid-1980s, we were able to amend the law a number of times, shrinking the corridor from 8,000 acres to 4,000 acres, putting restrictions on eminent domain in the law, strengthening private property rights, and so forth. So that is a background. About 6 weeks ago, I'm sitting home reading the Republican, and I see where there's a $4.7 million capital item in the budget, and it immediately caught my attention. I hadn't heard much about the yacht for the last 30 years, certainly. There was a little bit of action about 8 years ago, but not a whole lot. So I immediately contacted the commissioners, Mayor Schlossnagel, and the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources, just asking, what's this all about? I immediately got responses within an hour or two of my contacting them, saying, in effect, we don't know anything about it. We didn't have anything to do with this. This was a legislative initiative. I then contacted Senator Edwards and Delegate Beitzel. They have still not responded to me. To this day, they have not responded. And I simply asked, what's this all about? What's going on? So I then requested a lot of information from the department and received the information that I asked for. I also circulated to the commissioners and the mayor and the delegation as well. And to make a long story short, I think it's a big mistake to be talking about the development of a trail in the wild section of the Allegheny River. The law prohibits it, and all you need to do is read the law. It's very clear. It's a law that Delegate Edwards and I had a lot to do with, and my point is, I'm not against trails. I think trails are a great idea. I think the Garrett Trails organization has developed a lot of things that will help our economic development, but this will not. And if you look at the Maryland Great Outdoors Act and the Allegheny River legislation, both regulations and law, it's very clear that this type of activity is prohibited. Just read it. It's very clear. It's 22 pages long. I haven't looked at it, to be honest with you, in about 35 years, but I went back to it, and it's very clear. In 2014, the delegation tried to do the same thing. The then Secretary of Department of Natural Resources turned it down. They said they would not support it because it's against the existing law. And I'm simplifying it, but that's basically what it said. So, with that being said, we need to understand what this is all about. There needs to be a clear discussion, probably by the delegation first, and then the trail organization, Garrett Trails, because I have received no information from Garrett Trails. I've asked them for information. The media has asked them for information. There's no information. $4.7 million is a lot of money. And I think the money could better be used in the development of other trails, perhaps from Oakland to Harrington Manor, maybe Friendsville to Selbysport. Those are two trails that I think would make a lot of difference. So that's my point. And what really surprised me is that in a democracy, the public has a right to hold elected officials accountable. It's very clear you all are very accountable to your constituency. I've dealt with all of you over the years, have never had any difficulty whatsoever. I've sat in similar positions that you all are sitting in. So, I mean, I know how the game works. And I just think that right now we have to ask you to try to find out as much as you can to let us know exactly what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you. We have 8 minutes left. Creed, you're up.
Right. Well, I've been editing it. I'm going to have to read it because I could go on and on for too long, but I too have tried to contact Garrett Trails on numerous occasions in writing and phone calls, and Delegate Beisel, and even, you know, just different organizations trying to get some information on this nebulous plan, and it's dead silence. I think as an organization that you fund, you should be have a little bit of oversight over their transparency to the public, their duty to the public, especially when they're spending your money, because that's important. You know, people want to know that the organization cares and wants to hear what people have to say and has enough integrity to respond to them, even if it hurts. You know what I mean? So here we go. Our town is a very special and unique place with a wild trail and a wild river. It's the reason I moved here and the reason many new residents have moved here. The world-famous reputation of this wild river is not just from the intense whitewater action, but the journey itself through this wild gorge. No power lines, no structures, no bridges, and no people. Hence, I guess why as a town we boldly claim to be the wild and scenic adventure capital of Maryland, as you can see on the signs throughout town. Sounds like an amazing place to live, doesn't it? It is. That's why our real estate values are strong and people want to move here. Years ago, it was identified as a rare gem with a remote and rugged nature. The almost inaccessible Upper Yaak Gorge and remote hollows allowed the forest to regenerate and provide a safe, quiet refuge for at least 14 endangered and threatened plants and animals. Being left alone has not only given these species a last chance, it's created superb habitat for bears, bobcats, otters, weasels, eagles, osprey, owls, minks, fisher cats, porcupines, and deer, all of which I have seen while paddling and hiking along this river. And they're there because there are no people there. For most of the time, that river sits in peace. When the kayakers are gone in an hour, that river returns to one of the wildest places that our state has. Years ago, it got recognized as a rare gem by the best and top biologists at the DNR. It got protected by law, as John pointed out, as part of the Maryland Wild Scenic River Program, and kind of a secondary thing, which was the Yaak Wild Scenic River Corridor. These laws and regs are in place and are still the guiding principle for the wild and scenic corridor management, which is overseen by Ranger Roy Musselway and John Cook as his assistant manager. They intend to enforce those regulations. Anything that impacts the primitive character of Punta Gorge must be thoroughly reviewed by the Maryland Wild and Scenic Review Board, as well as the local advisory board, made up of citizens entrusted by law to protect this regulation. None of this has been done. None of this is done by any party involvement whatsoever. Has the Yacht Advisory Board been consulted? And they are the number one lead on what happens up that river. So this is all very ugly looking and messy. And in an election year, believe me, we have the passion to fight for the trail not being there. You better have the passion to destroy this valley, because we're not going to stand for it. And we have what's right on our side. This includes no construction of any kind and no sign of human impacts. This is what primitive character means, and that's what the law says. If you don't care about that, then you are considering yourselves above the law. And if you're on the Gara Trails board, or if you have been in support of this misguided alignment, you're a lawbreaker. You don't care about the laws that the DNR has put in place. You care about some selfish access to some economic golden carrot that rarely, if ever, delivers. The forces behind this could save us a lot of time. It's been rejected so many times, as John Bacchus, you know, has said. This is ridiculous. It won't survive Maryland DNR review, and it won't survive the review of the Yacht Advisory Board, who the Maryland Department of Education Secretary has personally told me in a long conversation that they will be brought into this process and that the regulations as standing will be followed and enforced. It's a messy situation. Do you stand for degradation and the destruction of something wild, or do you stand for its preservation and protection? That's the line that's drawn here. And your organizations want to stand for the degradation and destruction, or the preservation and protection. Certainly any organization that claims to have environmental sensitivity would go on the way of preservation and protection. This is all going to be a huge hornet's nest, I can tell you right now. So let's be real. The regs are not going to change without hearings where the full protections in place will be enforced and fought for. This proposed trail will never meet the environmental review standards. Why are we letting outgoing politicians waste their time like this for a project that's already been denied many, many times, and the Secretary has pretty much told me it won't float in environmental review. I've talked to biologists and departmental people at the DNR up and down the board. I think the vast majority of humans know and understand that when you introduce humans into habitats and places that have previously been quiet and isolated, it is going to have a negative impact. This is basic science.
But you're saying it's okay to put one down Selbysport, so what's the difference?
The rare and threatened endangered species that have been identified up in this gorge. The fact that the remote and rugged nature has kept people out. It's a special place, and that's why it got designated, and it's Maryland's only wild and scenic river, not down there.
But it's the same river.
It's a different character.
It's the same river.
If you haven't been down the river, you need to go. Roger's in the business, he'll take you down, he'll keep you safe. You'll experience why it's so special, okay? If people are going to follow basic science about how negative human intrusion is to wild places and habitats, then what good are they to us, really, as representatives, okay? The more people, the greater impact, and if this flood of human intrusion is never ending like a bike trail, the wild character, unique specialness of this wild place is lost forever. In 5, 10, 15, 25 years, it just goes downhill, downhill, and downhill. Any town can have a heart of a bike trail, but not any town has direct access up the Kendall Trail like we do to an area that gets wilder and wilder and wilder. We have a wild trail, and we have a wild river. That's what makes us special. Is our county a place of adventure or a place that sanitizes the wild? What do you want to be known as? Nothing is stopping anyone from going up there and experiencing your rugged nature. This is a legacy we can leave to our kids that we can be proud of. We can reject pie-in-the-sky promises of money, or we can do what is right in our hearts and protect the wild for the future generations, not destroy it. We are too old to make these decisions for the future generations, but we can leave them this great and amazing gift. If ruining it forever for a selfish desire for money and recreation is your purpose, which is the only purpose for this trail, then we have violated our duty as good steward to protect it, protecting one of God's finest works.
All right, Creed, we need you to wrap it up.
I got two more sentences. Let's divert these funds. The trail's already designed north of town. That's got to be done. If Gary Trails is so into completing their loop, we have a beautiful bridge they want to build across the yacht just by our park here, which would be an incredible asset for our town, a fantastic place for people to go and sit and enjoy the scenery, and without damaging it. Really, what is the crown jewel of the yacht watershed? Okay. So, it's a water trail. Let's keep it that way. Let's keep it wild. Let's keep it special. Let's see what's so, you know, what is our unique thing here? We have a wild river and a wild trail, you know?
All right.
I don't think there's too many towns in the whole United States that have that.
Thank you. Mr. Stork, unfortunately we're out of time, but we did get your email, and of course you can...
I'll submit my comments to you.
We'll take it.
And I will give you, for you have it on record, the letter of the rejection of that trail.
Okay.
2014 bit. Dollar Pies that was new.
Appreciate it. We'll end on that, and I will just say this. We have not really been apprised of what the plan is yet. I think we're still doing some fact-finding on that and what exactly this money cannot pay for, what it's intended for. One thing that I do know is there will be no decisions made without ample opportunity for public comment and make sure that that is the main part of what happens. So, with that, do we have a motion to adjourn? Thank you again to the town for the...